having to do a lot with a brick or a stone.
So we're doing a full stone fascia with like a whitewash brick with brass lanterns, beautiful wood garage door. The side of the neighbor's house that's going to be torn down next, I guess that would be called the, to the right of the standing property.
Oh, the Cedar Shake House closer to the...
Yeah, the Cedar Shake House. That side is going to have some patio down, there's going to be a storage unit down that side, as you see on the plan. The only side that's going to be open to make it usable, honestly, for us, is the on-property side and the bayfront side. So like from the front, it's going to look like a normal, like it's actually like a garage.
Okay, will it close underneath that porch area?
Oh, which?
The front elevation?
The porch is going to be enclosed now, yes.
The bottom portion of that, at least when you look at it from... Yeah, I mean, I guess that's what you're saying.
When you stand street view, it's going to look like a full house, like a town, it's a brownstone center city. The whole thing will be, it's a whitewashed brick for the first level with wood garage door, brass lanterns. So it won't look open at all from the street side.
Okay.
But from on the property, if you're standing in the driveway, that side of the house will be open, but for me, that's usable. I also have scooters, we're going to have a golf cart, like that stuff can enter that under the house back side there and also be off the street. So there's multiple vehicles being moved off the street by getting access to this.
And you remove the apartment.
But it looks like still this whole front facade, I guess, this whole area in front of your addition is open?
Oh, the addition will be, because you have the apartment.
Yeah, it's like a game of 3D chess here.
It is.
There's about four ways to get into the house, and then there's an elevator, so it's...
Well, there'll be the back deck you can get in on.
Yeah.
That was another difficult part of this, was raising the house up that high, just getting access to the deck is almost, was really difficult.
Yeah. So when you designed the two driveways, you did it for ease of pulling in and backing out?
Correct.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Because that's what Roger was indicating.
Right.
Okay, because I don't think we understood that.
I'm sorry.
No, I don't think Lorraine did it. You know, when you hear double and single, like you start getting nervous.
I'm with you 1,000%. Yeah, this gains a lot of space on the street. All the neighbors are supportive, but I wish it was...
No, I go down that street every day. It's this big.
Right.
Hey, guys, where's the kitchen? Where's the kitchen? Is the kitchen down on this elevation?
I was going to ask that. Is it on the first floor? It's just not drawn in?
We don't have the kitchen pad that's drawn in, but it's on the first floor.
First livable space.
We didn't lay out the kitchen.
But it doesn't even show a kitchen.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be in the front to the...
I presume it was there for Diane.
The kitchen's around the corner of Dorset Avenue.
Can't build a house without a kitchen. Yeah, well, you could.
There's three off-street parking spaces.
Three off-street. Some of those people on Longport have that kitchen, but never use it.
Yeah.
So you're saying it's between the rec room and the kitchen?
Two under the garage, and then there's one that's coming off that 9-foot space. John, you want to show Dan the three parking spaces? Let's bring your plan over.
There's existing apron at this location, and then under the house, although this is a deviation from your requirements, the house is like that. The structure, if you look at the average plan, is 19-6 inside. So you basically have two 9-foot wide spaces underneath the house. So, and it's a standard double wide 16-foot garage.
Okay. And then the third, you're parking underneath the master addition.
Also, yes.
Yes.
And then you're walking up this double wide stairs, making a left and a right up to the new entry into where the kitchen will be, I guess.
Yeah. You'll walk into
the dining room.
I'd be the living room. The dining room facing the bay on the and that front room there, the dining room area.
Roger, I just have a question on the curb cut. On your report, it says 2 at 9 feet is conforming, but I hear it's 1 at 9 feet and 1 at 18 feet. Is that also conforming?
No, that would be part of the intent.
So the ordinance says you're allowed 2 separate 9-foot lots if you put parking below. The assumption is that those are in the garage. The street opening section of the ordinance says 10-foot. Well, actually, no, 20-foot. And then, so for the parking underneath, you know, well, I, 2-9 would be an 18 because they put the parking together.
Right, but they're going to do a 9 and an 18. So that's
correct.
That would be a parking.
9.
A curb right there.
Just to play devil's advocate, 18 is if you're parking one car straight in and the second one is stacked in front of it, why do you need an 18-foot wide curb cut? I mean, we're not clear.
It's not stacked.
They're side by side.
Oh, it's a side garage. Just kind of expand on that a little bit. Just to put it in perspective, we're permitted 2 9-foot curb cuts. If we reduce this to 9 feet and then begin to control the condition, it's not going to increase the on-street parking.
Got it. Okay.
Anything else?
No. No other questions from the board? Hearing none, we'll open it up to the public. Seeing none, close the public portion. Roger, do you have anything?
No, just a couple comments. If this is right around the corner, being a coastal way zone, and that elevation in that first floor would be at 17. Because it's measured to the bottom horizontal temperature. So here, they don't need to do that. Also, in the ordinance, it says that if you have garage parking, it must be fully enclosed. I'm not counting that section under the addition as garage parking. It's, I mean, it's taking advantage of open space and park. So I didn't count that as a variance. The side-by-side parking underneath the house that's fully enclosed makes sense to me, and all along this area, and every house that's wanted to do something has been here in front of the board. So what you're asking for has not been unusual. Most places get parking variance because they can't fit any cars on the property. So to me, to get 3 cars off for all those parking variances that we had to give before, I'd say it's a net gain of 0. That's not a bad thing. And to comply with the impending rules, I think that's a big positive. Again, part of the master plan reexamination will be addressing this area in particular about to get rid of some of these variances that are required by just where the land is, where a lot is. I don't have an issue with most of these, and if you address my comments. Lot coverage, again, it doesn't comply before, it doesn't comply now. So the 3% increase in lot coverage, that's from the driveway, or?
The increase in lot coverage, you know, this building is going over some existing area right now, that's landscaping right now on the side of the existing driveway.
And if you got credit for the area over the water, you'd be fully compliant.
Oh, yes.
Just not, you don't have to know the bay though. Roofie projection, again, I looked at the plans, they exist at 24 inches now, and they're proposed to stay 24 inches. You're not getting rid of the roof. The idea of that is, of the 18 is if you have a 4-foot setback, it's only 2.5 feet away from the property line. Here, you're not really impacting it. You're not gonna make a difference because they already exist. Setback to the garage door, again, they're limited by the upland area and the lot depth. Landscape coverage, again, on this side of the street, we permitted like raised planters for landscaping and shrubs. Some of those have actually come out pretty nice along that side.
Pretty large ones, actually.
Right. Other than that, I really don't have any comments. I did speak to John earlier today about this, and I think we came to agreement of the changes that they presented. I thought the board would be receptive to that, so No further comment.
We agree, I think the 5 and 15, and the fact that Roger asked for the comment of seeing if we get off that 2.8 side yard setback, talking to Harry, talking to John, when we do the lift, we can put the new foundation in, slide it over to the 4 feet, doesn't have the impact on that side, so that, that one side yard gets now opened up by over a foot, and still has the windows, it now gives you the ability to put some windows in, so you have light and air coming in, and it doesn't impact the neighbor on the other side, because we still have the side yards on the other side. It's one of those lots, based upon where you have your bulkhead, that you only have 37 feet deep to play with, so there's not much else we can do with it. So, and we think by getting the extra three cars parking and the two driveway cuts, doesn't, it becomes a positive for the neighborhood, which is, it's a tight neighborhood down there. Other, all other comments of Mr. McGarren are fully acceptable.
Thank you, Brian. We're gonna hand it over to Leo.
One other thing is, another positive aspect is the following ordinance of the city of Ventnor to build a new bulkhead on this being raised, so it helps protect that area. It's not gonna stop flooding, but it's gonna slow down.
Right, if it stops 3 inches of flood water from coming over, we're doing well.
And as each house goes up, the new bulkhead goes in.
Yes.
You know, when we're all dead, we'll be no more flooding.
Another icy dish.
Yeah.
So.
Thank you, Jack.
All the side yards now, side yard setbacks are compliant.
Correct.
For the building on the right, number two.
So, is there any landscape?
So, on the left side?
Not much.
Well, we have two spots of landscaping.
So there's 120 square feet of landscaping in the front yard. This area next to the driveway, and then adjacent to the driveway on the other side.
It's a miracle you got that much.
No, number four, still a variance, that's the fact, don't need water, they can't move it, please, they move it.
On the right, it talks about a right.
Number four.
Side yard setback?
Side yard setback to the deck and right, that's the one that's in the water.
Gotcha, okay. All right, so if there's no other questions or discussion, I'll summarize the variance. It's again, a C variance application, you have my flashlight, I'm going blind, but front yard setback is at 0.9 feet, or that's where it is, that's where it's staying, or 12 feet's the requirement. There's a side yard setback to the deck over the water. 4 feet's required, or 1 feet's proposed, is that right, Roger? And then.
1 foot exists and 1 foot.
Right, and then the rear deck, the first floor, rear deck setback, so 0 feet's the requirement, but it's over the bulkhead, so that's a variance. The rear deck height of the first floor is a variance, and the rear deck height, second floor, they're not permitted, but it's over the, you know, but it's over the water, so that's another variance. Lot coverage, they're at 79% now, or 75 is the permitted maximum. And then total landscape coverage, do we have an exact number on that? 25%'s.
13%.
And they're at 13%. And then for front yard landscaping.
That goes away.
They're gonna comply with that. And then the other variance would be for the curb cuts. Two curb cuts are proposed, 1 9-foot, 1 18-foot. Terms and conditions, the finished first floor elevation will be 15.
Yes.
And I don't believe I heard any others other than the standard conditions that we put in every resolution. Again, anything else in Mr. McLaren's report, any representations made on behalf, by or on behalf of the applicants, subject to the outside approvals, maybe CAFRA, whatever else, pretty much just the standard ones other than.
Yes.
Can we have a roll call, Carmella?
Did you do first and second?
Oh, can we have a motion?
No. Second.
Second.
We have a roll call.
Sure. Mayor Kribel?
I think this, as Roger said, it's having this be at the 15-foot elevation and getting a new bulkhead is a benefit to the city. I think there's a lot of things that tick all the boxes. I think the variances are de minimis. I just have to say, from a critical standpoint, with a 50-foot lot and all the gyrations and 3D chess that's played to make this house function the way you want it to, the facade on the front is a little underwhelming for the street. The way the drawings are shown, there's not. I realize that the front is really the bay facing, and that is one of the best parts of the bay, where you turn before you make the stretch to the. We make the last turn to the mile stretch. It's one of the most beautiful places. But I can't help. I apologize, but I can't help but saying that this. You may have got. After all the effort, a new build on this lot would have been. May have been a simpler route. But that's neither here nor there. I support the application because it answers all the questions and is de minimis in its variances. So I support the application. I'd like to see a little bit more detail on the front facade.
Joe Iannazelli.
I also support the project. I think you're making a functional home. The off-street parking is a huge plus. It is a tight street. We drive fire trucks down there all the time. It's not really tough. But yeah, good luck.
Lorraine Salata.
Given the flooding is so bad on that street, the fact that the bulkhead will be replaced with the newer requirement, the house is elevated, hopefully that will give the people that live there some relief. And other than that, I think it's a nice project and I approve it.
Dan Smith III.
It's a challenging location, and what was done will help mitigate the existing conditions and the improvements of the bulkhead, and everything else that is going to be done will help. But I'm in favor.
Mike Wiesen.
I have to agree with the mayor. The effort you put in to make this house look so nice and beautiful and do everything, wow, it's a lot of work. And I may thought that it would have been easier to build a new house, but it, you know, your choice. But it's a great job, great explanation, more parking, and I vote in favor.
Tim Coop.
I also vote in favor. We're getting a new bulkhead. House that's flood compliant and some additional off-street parking. So I think it's a challenging lot. So congratulations on the work that you've done.
Jessica Stilling.
I actually also agree with the mayor. I think in terms of the facade on Derby, I feel like there could have been more there to enhance that frontage on Derby. Leaving that area open underneath that new addition, I think, really leaves it an unfinished look. And I think more the trend now is keeping that bottom ground floor fully enclosed. I think ultimately, Joe, the positives do outweigh the negatives. I think you're making some flood compliant, adding the parking. So while I really wish aesthetically a little more could be done, and maybe it still can be, to that front area under that addition, but I do think positives
outweigh
the negatives, and I am in favor.
John Van Dyne.
I'm in favor. I think when you have a big lot on the bay, which are rare, scarce as heads deep, maybe there would have been a way to design it so it wasn't so devastatingly covering the lot like in its entirety. I realize it's a good project. I'm going to vote in favor of it, but I agree with what Tim said, about the aesthetics of the project. But, it's a shame to take a 50-foot lot and just smush it, But that's the rules. I'll vote in favor.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations on your...
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody.
He wants to do BS.
Yeah, he's, I think...
Good job.
Or we close and don't tell him. I'll go get him. Yeah?
Is that why you left work early today, Brad?
Oh, sorry.
Is that two different colors?
Did you see it? Did you see it?
Half husky is a one, white eye, one.
Oh, does it?
Housing, plan, consistency review. Roger, would you do a presentation on that, please?
Sure, I'll be, I can read it verbatim, but...
So cool.
As you're aware, there's two attachments to the email today. One is the ordinance passed by the, introduced by the city on February 26th, which is, establishes a affordable housing ordinance, which is required by the state of New Jersey. And the other one is part of that, is reflected that could have been done under the same ordinance, but separate, where they create a municipal housing liaison. That's the person who's going to implement and follow and govern the affordable housing ordinance. So this affects land use. So by municipal land use law, it has to be brought to the planning board for a consistency review, then referred back to the governing body for second reading and adoption of public comment. So here we are today. Basically, there's a memo by Tiffany Pubiello, who is the author of the ordinance. And I'll just read it real briefly. What I wrote was the ordinance number 2026-006 creates article 29 of chapter 102 of the city code entitled Affordable Housing, and may now be known as the Affordable Housing Ordinance. Was introduced for the first reading by the city commission on February 26, 2026, and published March 5th, 2026, for second reading, public comment, and adoption scheduled for March 12th, 2026, which is tomorrow. Ordinance number 2026-06 was referred to the planning board secretary by the city clerk on February 27th, 2026. Similarly, ordinance number 2026-007 creates Article 30 of Chapter 102 of the City Code, entitled Municipal Housing Liaison. And again, it followed the same suit as the ordinance 06, when it was created, when it was read, and when it's going to be adopted, and second reading, which is tomorrow night. So just the municipal land use law requires a planning board shall make and transmit to the governing body within 35 days after referral, which is why I put that in there, a report including identification of any provisions in the proposed development regulations, revision and amendment, which are inconsistent with the master plan, and recommendations concerning these inconsistencies and other matters as the board seems appropriate. So without reading everything, in January this year, the state passed out to all municipalities that they had to adopt a fair share housing plan, affordable housing plan, or they would be they would lose their exemption or immunity to any those remedy suits. So the city of Ventnor decided to implement and create this ordinance. And so what I'm saying is, because it is an element of the master plan, it's not our master plan, but it has to be in there. It is consistent with the master plan in regard that it should be part of it. So in that regard, it is not inconsistent and is actually consistent with the master plan for the city of Ventnor. And the ordinance summary, you can read the ordinance summary, but it discusses what the ordinance is, and also what the ordinance for the municipal housing liaison, some of the duties of the housing liaison, which is quite extensive. I think the ordinance itself is probably, what, 50 pages long, quite voluminous. So again, as Tiffany commented in her memo, as the ordinance is related to the implementation of adopted housing element, fair share plan, master plan element, it is my professional opinion that the board can find these proposed ordinances are in fact consistent with the master plan, as Tiffany Cabello. I agree with that, and I recommend that the board adopt this and refer back to the governing body tomorrow night.
Now, my understanding is also that we comply and move further other than just administrate the housing plan. Am I correct in that?
Comply with what?
In other words, their requirements in housing stocks and so on. Will you meet?
No, we have a deficit.
We have a deficit.
Right. We have to provide affordable housing, but we know what the numbers are.
We know what the numbers are.
And we're going to have to cut the fee for every commercial development, from what I read in the ordinance, that every commercial development that comes from the planning board or gets a zoning application by right, they have to further provide a fee.
Okay, so we are short.
We're compliant in that we submitted our plan.
We submitted our plan, and but now we have to enact the plan, which is collect the fees that are necessary, and then eventually provide the housing.
So only in units that are 10 units or more,
right?
Or not, or I don't think any commercials are exempt, but then we can use that, those fees, whatever that amount is. We created a basically a trust or a bank account, right, for it, right, that we can use to help institute, help with rental equipment. You know, there's a list of things you can use it for, but this is not a Ventnor specific problem. This is a nationwide thing that we're in step with, and it was difficult to get people to work on it because there's so many deadlines, so many municipalities trying to get it done. So,
but it's mandatory by the state.
It's mandatory.
To do that.
And we do have credits. We have certain homes like Shalom House, and there's one or two.
Stream Bank out of there?
No, I think there's one or two community homes that counted towards it.
Right.
But
living areas count?
Yes.
The important thing here is that we've addressed it. We have provisions for it. We're set up for it, and we comply in that area. And now it's a matter of just working the actual ordinance itself. And then when the dollars are collected, do what's appropriate. That's all. So
big thing is we have a plan in place.
We have a plan. Some communities aren't addressing it.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
So,
we are addressing it. It's a responsible, we have to do it. It's our responsibility. And the city has addressed it very well. The person, Tiffany, who's done this thing, is an expert in this stuff. So, we.
So, will Troy Avenue be subject to this?
No.
No,
that was already excitement.
Plus, they're all single family. That was exempt from
the development. Right?
Yeah.
There's going to be, there's not really many,
I don't think there's not many potential projects that could be on it, but it's there in case there are. There might be.
But the consultant that did the work for the city was excellent, and it's very skilled in this area. And that's the important thing.
This is a 20% set aside for 10 or more units. Is that specific based on municipality? I know other areas are 20% set aside for 5 or more. Was that part of our plan that we just did in the last one?
I don't know the
answer. Based on our whole last presentation they did.
Well, it used to be the
credits.
10 moderate and 10 low, 10%. Moderate and 10%
low. It was over a certain amount, a certain number.
It's thresholds.
It's 10, is there? Or what do you say about
five? Units for every 10, if it's a 10 unit, and then it has to be affordable that this money could then go towards assisting them, I guess.
But it's triggered by 10 or more.
Number,
That's the question. That's, I think, is the hard thing to get your head around, is what is affordable today?
Is it affordable here?
To who?
Affordable market?
And the ordinance is written by the state.
We had set Wildwood's meeting on Monday, and they said that the attorney said that they're going to, units could sell for anywhere from like $50,000 to $200,000.
So it's affordable, but not, it's paid for.
I mean, to get $200,000.
For somebody that can't afford.
Well, they can be rental units.
They can be rental.
They can be rental or even purchase it.
For sale.
And I think you are capped on how much you could appreciate under that rule.
And the state reserves the right to change the ordinances too.
Of course.
And so what you have today could not, can be changed tomorrow. So.
Well, if we didn't do this, they could come down and say, all right, back in Ventnor West, you have to build 100 units out there.
Right. If we don't.
They don't care about the environmental rules. They don't care.
If we don't do this, we're in trouble.
Right.
And we're at the mercy of who knows.
So it looks like what they do is.
We're protected if we do.
Is they take the median income of the area, and it should not, and the affordability should not exceed 30% of the gross household income. That's how they set it to a local. I don't know, this is Dr. Google answering it, but it may be wrong. But the area, so including the gross income, including utilities, rent, and mortgage, the housing can cost no more than 30% of that household's gross. Which kind of makes sense, because your locality can change. What the average Ventnor resident would be, but it puts it in a, at least in some kind of area.
And but we have no choice. We have no choice but to go with this, because it's the state law. They gave us one law, and they gave you one choice: you need to do it, or we come down on you, and you. We're punitive. So that's it.
Oh, I scored one. I saw 7-0. Oh, what, 5-0?
So,
all right.
More than at least.
I think seven.
Yeah, we need
that. Yeah, so we have.
Let's have a cappuccino.
Yes.
In the dugout.
We have to.
We should have.
We have to vote on this this evening. And you have to give me, also give me the power to sign the resolution tonight.
We have the resolutions that, so I circulate them, so they're before everybody. Basically, and Roger explained it, the city introduced two ordinances. One was the main affordable housing ordinance, and they did a separate one for this affordable housing liaison, which was very short.
Right.
They introduced them on March, last February 26th, off the top of my head. On first reading, so they're referred to us. We have to make a determination, which these two resolutions do, one on each ordinance. It simply says these ordinances are consistent with the master plan, and then tomorrow night the city presumably is going to adopt those ordinances on second reading. So our role is basically, we have resolution 7 and resolution 8, and they basically say they incorporate Roger's memo, they incorporate Tiffany's memo, and they say this planning board finds that each of the two ordinances are consistent with the master plan. So I think all we really need is on resolution in order, there's resolution 7 first, which is... Yeah, I think everyone has it through.
They have them already.
Yeah, so resolution 7 is a consistency report on ordinance number 2026-006, which is the ordinance of the city of Ventnor to create Article 29 of the Chapter 102 entitled Affordable Housing. And again, it just makes a finding by our board that that ordinance is consistent with the master plan. It incorporates by reference Roger's report, Tiffany's report, and if that's in order, we'll just need a motion, a second, and an all in favor, and that's sufficient.
Okay. Is everyone comfortable with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Which one's first?
Resolution 7 of 2026.
I need a motion and adoption, or a second for Resolution 7?
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it.
And then we just need the same thing with Resolution 8, which is the ordinance that dealt with the liaison. Consistency report on ordinance number...
6 and 7, not 7 and 8.
It's ordinance 6 and 7, Resolution 7 and 8. It's confusing, I get you. So this is Resolution 08-2026, consistency report on ordinance, City of Venter ordinance 2026-007.
May I have a motion and adoption?
Motion.
Adoption. And a second, please, for Resolution 8. John, you propose that one. And a second, please?
Yes, he was first. Joe was first.
Okay, oh, yeah, it was motion and second. Mike, you motioned, John second.
Okay.
Okay. Well, Joe, what are you doing? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes carry it.
So now that they are adopted, you can sign tonight. I'll attach Roger's memo, I'll attach Tiffany's memo, we'll get them deleted. No, because we presented them before.
I will sign those before.
And then there was one other quick thing promised.
Actually, two.
Two quick things, okay.
We also have to...
Subdivision committee, right?
Appoint a master plan committee.
Okay.
And what is that master plan committee going to do?
Well, you're actually suggested it.
I suggested it.
I'm following the rules here. I do what I'm told.
I do what you're told. Well, who told you to do that? Anyway, we're going to need some, in doing the master plan, to get this done in the timeframe we need, we're going to need probably one or two committees, and they have to do with some of the lots. Looking at the lot areas and the rezoning is going to be one area of that. And the other area is going to be probably looking at changes of what areas need to be looked at more and what needs to be looked at, say possibly in there, or under, have been undervalued or not been looked at hard, say, for other uses or other ordinances, like commercial, like the Dorset Avenue area, that block or that strip of land. What should be done with that? What should be done with some of the other specific problem, identify them? But just look at identifying certain things and discuss them, and then we can, the board will pick and choose what they want to, what should be included, what shouldn't be included. Mayor, do you have any suggestions?
Well, I think it's important to note that this is not a full master plan, this is a
Reexamination.
But how long is it good?
Of the existing master plan.
10 years.
10 years.
It's good for 10 years?
Yeah, so it's not going to be, I think if there's areas to do a deep dive in, that's a positive thing. I think the city could use some careful attention to all the downtowns. I think that ultimately, the driver that makes the reason we see these great applications that are taking some of the streets like Sacramento and Portland and turning what used to be blight into residential homes is because we have other things to do in town now, but I still think the downtowns are lagging. I think there's blight, there's lack of a real cohesive vision to those things. So I'm speaking personally, but I think that we can do better and have more strength in the master plan for things like awnings and design standards and upkeep. We're working with things to increase the strength of our ordinances, but I think it would be a benefit to the city to have to separate ourselves from Atlantic City. If we don't have strong and definable characteristics that are different from Atlantic City, then the business owners can run a little bit wild, and they'll just do whatever the least they can do is. So I think that, a master plan would benefit that. And, you know, not just, I think we got a $960,000 grant to do streetscapes on Dorset Avenue. The intention is to make it look more attractive and kind of bring in some of the beautiful details of Dorset Avenue Bridge and make that be the inspiration for things like streetlights and and green space to make that Dorset Avenue a new entrance. And I think that bringing that, maybe even some signage, some overarching signage, we're really trying to make that a better first impression. So things like that, I think it would be good to have. I think we'd have to lean on Jim Rotella to really give and maybe and our other planning board members to give us where we're missing out on zoning.
I think, talked with Jim about that already.
Yeah, so I think he's really the expert. Yeah, I think we're on a good path. I mean, with the applications we saw today, if you're bringing houses up out of floodplain and bringing parking, if you see a city like that in 10 years, we did a good job, you know, that are not just, you know, I was a little disappointed in that last application because I think it's that mishmash of things. You see a lot of that in our houses. But anyway, we have all the right pieces are here. We're going to have a great new boardwalk. But to me, the biggest weakness is what's the first impression when you see a downtown? And right now, it's just not there.
Yeah.
You know, we got some great things happening, but it's still people don't really want to stop and park just because they see such an attractive downtown.
The facades are just from hunger. I mean, they're old.
Yeah.
They just don't look inviting.
Yeah. There's, you know, signage issues. I think we can incorporate some things that are already out there. Blade signs. Lighting, because it's so hard and expensive to get lighting on a street. If all the businesses were told to have those outreaching lights that light up the sidewalk in front of them at night, and they had an awning or a better signage, the whole downtown at night would look attractive. If you drive through our downtown at night, you don't want to get out. You really don't. That's not. You only go to. You'll go to two or three places. You'll go to social. You'll go to the movies. But everything in between is dark, and I think we can do better there, and it would be to our benefit from a rateable business as well. You know, if look at the lighting they're proposing for the Troy Avenue School, that's going to make that area walkable because it's going to be lit up. You know.
Yeah. You're 100% right, but it's so much better than it was 10 years ago. So we have made progress. But, you know, I feel like we've spun our wheels, you know, too many times, but it's still better than what.
Oh, yeah.
But we got so much farther to go. But, you know, with grant money and, you know, rateable basis, improving all, we got a shot to, you know, put a dent in.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's so much, like, every one of these items, like, and I know it's late, I won't say too much, but... Our landscaping ordinance, okay, to put planters and trees and bushes in flood-prone areas is absolutely ridiculous. It's asinine. And to build a 3-foot planter and put impatiens and daisies in there when the roots are going to get killed from the saltwater from underneath, it's nuts. You're creating walls, you know, impediments, you know, from the sidewalk. Masonry planters that look like shit in 2 years. I mean, I built this house in Derby Avenue on Surrey Avenue. I can't plant anything there.
Yeah, we've already had preliminary discussions on like areas that are flood prone to allow stones and maybe artificial turf and reduce the number of plantings. And even in like side yard setbacks, we'd have a 6-foot fence and a 4-yard setback and where grass won't grow.
Yeah.
But there's saltwater species.
You'd be better off, I'd be better off going in front of Joe Schaefer's ice cream stand if I wanted to take my own trees.
Right.
And stick it in the side of this house. Because that's not the only thing that's been on there.
But there's bald cypress, there's juniper that'll grow in saltwater.
Yeah, but that's one species
right now. Well, I understand, but you got
juniper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Natural grasses, I guess, but
yeah. But we got it.
Something we're going
to
look at.
Because planters are expensive to build.
Right.
You need a footing underneath of them, you need blocks, you need masonry, you need irrigation systems, and it's all waste because it's not going to work.
Right.
It can't work.
Yeah, the irrigation systems are
waste. You know, In the heights, some of those low lying areas in the heights, you can't plant flowers in there. I mean, you know, there's one.
Conventional landscaping doesn't work in those areas. That's it. It doesn't work. It's a waste.
I just lost a 30-foot maple tree in that last big storm that we had. And the whole tree died in, like, in 2 days. And that tree's probably 20 years old.
But there are species I've seen, I've worked with them, that do grow. And will not die in salt water.
There are, but.
And they, I planted them and the people tore them out.
Well, for the master plan community, I mean, I'm sure we can ask Jim Rotella to talk a little bit about that and put in some things that work in other communities. I hate to see us be like a stone, like, I don't know, I think it's Sea Isle that has pebbles everywhere. It's horrible, you know, there's gotta be a middle ground, but you're right. You can plant, you can put as many sprinklers and after, and sod as you want on the island. It's still an island that was meant to have, you know, natural grasses.
You think you're better off putting high quality astroturf in here. It's permeable.
Right.
It looks like grass. You can cut out plots and put, you know, flowers in there and all, but you know, it's,
But then you got the microplastic people, but, you know, barking at you.
Well, you know, it's just
so frustrating. The other
thing in landscape. Well, your garden is an award winning. I mean, it's beautiful natural space. Yeah. So
just to add on what John said about the where we've come from.
Right? Yeah,
it took two disasters to get us where we are.
Yeah.
The, one of the things that John's piggyback on is a maintenance ordinance. We had, in Sandy, we lost a lot of trees, a lot of plants. There's nothing in our ordinance that says that you have to replace what dies. And the maintenance in the code. So an existing house can get wiped out, and there's nothing in our ordinance that says they have to put it back.
Do other cities have that?
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Let's get our committee together.
That's our committee. That's part of our committee to look at that.
In the resolution that they have to maintain it.
Pardon?
And if it dies or whatever, it needs to be replaced. Now remember that.
We need to talk long-term.
Yes, thought. Exactly.
We've got all this new construction now, and.
You gotta get in front of it.
That's a subcommittee in its own right.
It is.
Right there, in the maintenance of the city and the landscaping, and that's a subcommittee. And John, would you kind of pick up that a little bit? If you go with that route, if you want.
Oh, he's got it all the time in the world.
The green team does have has done some work on this. I don't know how much we can incorporate into the master plan revision, or to. I'm sure there's a section in it that we can maybe strengthen somehow.
Well, I think we got to think about.
I agree.
We got to talk it out a little bit
because it affects the way that people perceive Ventnor. You know,
exactly.
You
walk in.
I mean, I'm thinking about it right now. I'm finishing this house up. I got to keep up on Memorial Day, and how am I going to landscape? You know,
right.
Come to the board and ask them.
The last storm we had, it was
okay. The other thing, not to change the subject, but go forward. Roman did a lot of work on these lots. We have
Roman.
Roman Zabiach. We have every lot cataloged, just about, in most of the city. And there's confusion with the R4 or R3 and R7 and so on. There's also discussion about the way that the lots are developed and what we should be doing in the future. So we have to look at that information and interpret it and see what was available. So we need a group to look at the actual work that was done and look at the zoning and look at the lot patterns and to see what the city should be doing.
Shoot half the architects.
But
you these guys are good tonight.
Yeah.
You guys did a nice job on it. We're not so great. I mean, some
are just so hard. In there, there's 3 years of work in that. There's thousands, we would have to pay thousands of dollars for it. Maps are redrawn, everything has been redone. So that work has never been done. In 40 years, we were trying to get that done. We finally got it done.
Well,
and that work is invaluable.
73, I got 4 years left.
So, but But that is the case.
John, stop making suggestions.
I'm making motion.
That is a subcommittee in its own right.
So just real quick, in certain cities I go to, you need permits to take a tree down.
You're supposed to have an ordinance for that.
Yeah. You can't cut a tree down. You have to ask permission from the city, and inspectors come out and say you can cut this tree down. I think we should do that.
It has to be followed up with a substantial fine.
Yeah, if you don't.
You say it's $100.
We also have that type treaty complaint as well, in that, and we need the maintenance ordinance.
Well, these are what the committees are for, right? We can drill down into all those things. So I think we're passionate about landscaping and facades for downtown. So if there's anybody, I don't think I can be on it because I'm going to probably sign it.
It's supposed to be the question.
Oh, yeah.
The lots and zoning. Not you, not me.
Class fours, so.
Lots and zoning has to be dealt with too.
Yeah, and there's lots in the zoning.
And that's critical. I got to go, so.
Yeah.
We're not adjourned.
For the subdivision committee and the committee for the master plan, you're telling us like the emails and names of the subcommittee.
Now, anybody have any privileges? Is your all going to work? Questions?
You're in charge.
Okay, we'll make it up. And that's it.
I feel sorry for the guy. It's the house, no kitchen.
Yeah.
One other thing, there was a question that went out. Hold on.
Oh, we forgot the kitchen.
Listen, hold on a second.
Sorry.
We have a minor subdivision committee, which we really need an alternate for. Before we say anything else, and before anyone goes, is that Roger, we need an alternate or all? Because we have something pending that needs to get done.
We could have got that done tonight.
Who's on the committee?
Right now, it's Wendy and
Peter and myself.
And Wendy was very sick, and Peter's on the.
So we just need.
Right, we could have done two.
If there's an alternate.
If we had an alternate.
For minor subdivision.
Minor subdivision.
Peter needs someone to vote.
Just have to vote.
Seth.
Basically, you're voting yes and something like that.
Yeah, I mean, Roger does most of the work.
Mike, you're going to be on.
Yes or no for a vote with no study, because the last time I was on the committee, he did all the work, all of it.
Okay.
I bought lunch.
Don't even have to do that.
Mike is the alternate.
Thanks, Mike.
So you're alternate for subdivision.
Right. Now, one other thing. There's a questionnaire that came out regarding your experience on the board. How many have not been returned?
I have not returned.
I did it. I was thinking about that yesterday.
Oh, I didn't do it.
I knew that was by flashing, detentions.
Detentions.
You sent us that card.
I know.
I already took you this, and I was like, shit.
Give me your best estimate.
For me?
No, I want it on the form.
She sent me a dirty picture about that.
Did you get a form? Carmella, you can get that quick question. Experience one to John.
And the committee for the master plan, last thing, right?
Okay, master plan.
How many people do you need?
Well, how many people, what's legally, how many people?
Two.
A two minimum.
Never, I only had two that.
Three members.
I'm gonna just send the email out again.
Right, Roger?
Two of them are healthy.
Draw straw.
Yeah, we have two of them.
Yes.
Two management alternate.
Okay.
That's one, Tim Coob.
One.
Okay.
I got one, I need three more.
For what committee we talking about?
What is four for?
Master plan.
Well, the master.
I can't carry a huge load on it, but.
Okay.
As a priority.
You want to put out?
I'll do it.
I'll be on the master plan.
Get that man included and participate.
I'll be on every committee.
My schedule's not right now.
I'll be on the master plan.
Anybody, there's a lot of people that aren't here. Is there anything, could we go out to an email to career?
Peter's on the side.
To committees.
It's the commissioner, career.
Yeah.
Heidi's on the other one, subdivision. So it's really only the commissioner and.
But the commissioner can't be on it, right?
Right, so it would just be Greer that we could ask.
But the commissioner's not.
All right.
So we have, we also have in there the master plan today.
Is that going to tell us what we're contacting you?
That's what we're talking about.
Okay.
So we have two, we just need one more for a three-person committee, right?
I'll put Peter Papel.
All right.
The honor, do I get to vote? Do I still get to vote?
You voted for somebody else, can't me.
Yeah.
But you should chime in.
Who?
We did.
So you're not.
Subcommittee.
No.
Subcommittee's not the consensus. Subcommittee's not the consensus.
You're providing guidance.
You provide guidance.
Yeah.
I'll be involved.
Right. And that's it.
All right.
Now, could I have a motion for adjournment, please?
Motion. Everybody's.
Yeah, everyone on motion.
I'll third it.
Good night, everyone.
We banged this, I gotta tell you, you guys banged it out tonight. You guys banged it out. Mayor, this board banged it out.